knowing what we clearly do of Jesus from the rest of the Gospels, we can be sure that he spoke those words in a friendly, even a humorous tone. And the woman takes up this game with him, as it were, this little friendly banter. Even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table, she says. And you can almost imagine Jesus saying, "Touché," with a smile on his face and a glint in his eye. "Woman," he says, "great is your faith." What was special about the faith that this woman displayed? For one thing, it was a clear, expectant faith. As Hebrews 11 says, faith is the assurance, the confidence of things hoped for. A sure confidence, a sure hope. And this woman was certainly confident that she was going to receive what she asked for. She wasn't going to give up. Talking of dogs, this woman reminds me of a terrier who has got hold of something, maybe a bone, and simply isn't going to let go of it. She's rather like Jacob, whom we thought about a couple of weeks ago, who wrestles with the angel at night and says in the end, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me." Now, those kinds of prayers seem presumptuous, don't they? Demanding. But I don't think it's that. I think it's simply the confident assurance that here is someone who can help us, someone who can bless us. And that is what this woman is like. And she is not disappointed. In the end, her daughter receives the healing that this mother had so desperately longed for. The other thing I want to say about the faith of this Gentile woman is that she didn't allow her standing in society to undermine that faith. She didn't accept the labels that had been put on her. She had at least two things against her. For one, she was a woman, which was a big disadvantage in those days, even sadly as it still is sometimes today. For another, she was a Gentile. And so as far as the Jews were concerned, she was beyond the pale. There was no way that she was going to receive any of the blessings that had been promised to God's chosen people. But she challenges all that. She goes against the common thinking. And she reaches out in faith to Jesus, and her plea is answered. Like her, I think all of us tend to have labels put on us, don't we? Categories into which people place us, or into which we place ourselves. Perhaps we think, God doesn't really seem to like me, certainly not the way in which he loves some other people in the church or other people that I know. Or we say, I don't deserve God's favor and grace. Think of the things that I've done. I can't expect blessings from God after doing some of those things that I have. He knows too much about me. Or maybe you say, as a number of people have said to me over the years, "Jan, please pray for me. Your prayers are so much stronger than mine. After all, you have a hotline to heaven." Nonsense. Yes, I may have a connection to heaven, but just the same as anybody else does. Each of us is able to come to God, no matter who we are. Each of us is equally able to approach our Heavenly Father. Or maybe like this woman, you feel like something of an outcast. Maybe think that other people look down on us in some way. And we begin to assume that maybe God sees us in that way as well. Various surveys that have been done have proved clearly that people who are good looking and young and tall and have beautiful hair and teeth are much more noticed and much more likely to be treated well in our society. And maybe we begin to believe that God thinks of us in a similar way, that God favors some, but not others. But again, that is complete nonsense. God loves each of us in the greatest way possible. There is nothing that we can do to make God love us any more, nothing we can do that will make him love us any less. Look once more at the story. This woman refuses to hold back or be held back by any such assumptions or prejudices. She has faith that the Lord is not like people, others who may look down their noses at one or ignore one completely. "No, sir," she says in effect, "this Jesus, he's traveled over 50 miles to come to this Gentile community. He's not only noticed me, he's gone out of his way to get to me." This woman has faith in Jesus, and she won't let go. She won't give up until he has blessed her. She believes in Jesus. She also believes in herself. She believes that she is important to Jesus, that she is lovable to God, despite what anybody else may say. A class of schoolchildren were asked to draw a diagram, a picture of themselves. One young girl proudly drew her picture, and below the picture she wrote, "I am me, and that's okay, because God don't make no junk. I am me, and that's okay, because God don't make no junk." Her picture and her grammar were not perfect, but her theology was spot on. When next you and I look in the mirror, perhaps we can say also, "I am me, and that's okay, because God don't make no junk." Jesus made time for this woman and answered her request. He did the same for the crooked Zacchaeus up in his crooked tree. He did the same for the blind beggar Bartimaeus. He did the same for that woman who had the issue of blood and who merely touched just the very edge of his garment. And he will do the same for you and me. In the case of that woman, he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" In our case, he will not need to know. He will not need to know who touched him. He will not need to ask, because he will know. He will know. Amen.